Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in franchising, business, and high-performance personal development. Today's guest spent many years in corporate America, is a successful entrepreneur, regularly co-hosts the show Unpredicted Entrepreneur, and is a very successful franchise consultant with one of the top franchise networks in FranNet, Roxanne Rapsky. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm glad to have you. I'm curious. Not everybody necessarily raises their hand and says, I'm going to be in franchising. Yeah. How did franchising find you?
Okay. So I'm a lot like my clients or our clients that came out of corporate America, right? There's usually an event that takes place that causes us to look for other options. So I came out of a mortgage banking background, and I don't know, you're a lot younger than I am, so I don't know how old you are when the markets imploded and we found ourselves in the middle of the Great Recession, but that's where it all started for me. I was in mortgage banking. I was in wholesale, not in retail. So I didn't deal with the borrowers. I dealt with the brokers that dealt with the borrowers. And I was 100% commission. I had $10 million in loans in my pipeline. I woke up the next day and had $400,000 left because the Fed had seized all the wires going out on what they called the alternative A product, which are also known as liar loans. And that was the beginning of the end for me. So just talking about, we were chatting earlier about busy lives. My son was younger. He was 8 at the time. And my husband and I both worked so much that my mom was actually living with us, helping us raise him. She was like our live-in babysitter / nanny / lighthouse keeper. So she volunteered for the job in the middle of my pregnancy. So she, thank God for her, because we did work so much. And it was just that hamster wheel thing. And so my husband, when this all happened, he just looked at me and said, we're not living like this anymore. I don't care what you do. Go back to school, stay home, volunteer, but figure it out. I don't care if you start a business, just figure it out. So I started trying to figure it out, and that's how I fell into franchising.
Yeah, I was actually in my freshman year of college at Michigan State, but I started a paint company called Spartan College Painters. And I remember going into neighborhoods and there were so many foreclosure signs. Yes. It was incredible. But so you are in a corporate position and your commission is tied to clearly clients. And so you have access to $10 million and all of a sudden it goes to hundreds of thousands of dollars overnight. Oh my gosh, that is an incredible story and ultimately a pretty unpredicted circumstance that eventually led you to franchising. Oh my gosh, I want to transition a little bit, and clearly FranNet is a big part of your story and clearly segued from that unpredicted circumstance. What makes FranNet so special?
So a little bit of background before I found FranNet, I actually didn't go straight from my corporate position into FranNet. So I went from position into franchise consulting, but as there are different groups out there, they do it different ways, right? So when I first did it, I was not part of a franchise system. And at the time, it was very much like being independent. There was a little bit of training, a little bit of support, but it was nothing like being part of a franchise system. So I did that for the first 6 years. And then I was looking at other options and got a call from somebody at FranNet that said they were looking for somebody to join their team. And my name was on a really short list, and if I was open to a conversation to call them. And so it was really night and day for me. Once I got under the fold of Franet and a franchise system, it completely changed my business. It completely changed my income. And I believe Franet is special because it is a franchise system. And there's so much support, so much training. And if you think of just things like a website, right? When you're trying to do all that stuff on your own and manage it, it's just, and that's just one little piece of the puzzle, right? I believe Franet puts a lot of training into their franchise consultants. I think they've been around since 1987. There are systems in place that work. They're always looking to do things better. I can't say enough about the corporate office and the ethics of the corporate office and the support they give. And I really do feel like I'm part of the best system.
So you were much more entrepreneurial right out of the Great Recession. And pretty much solo, very similar to a mom-pa, and breaking into a new industry. I would assume that was pretty tough trying to compete with all of these established consultants all around the country, or even just in your market. My point is, you were taking the arrows in the back, figuring out the system, the blueprint, the process, and even something as simple as the website, as you had mentioned. Oh, that's neat. I didn't realize that that was your path to Franet. Thanks for sharing that. But Franet has a very proven matchmaking system. And I was hoping you could help share what makes that process what it is, so effective.
I think because, first of all, there's a system, right? There's a very succinct process on how to take somebody from a corporate position or a job in general, even if it's a teacher or a physician, and to take them all the way over here to business ownership. There's a process that needs to be followed. And it starts with what we call an entrepreneur profile. And really what that profile does, it's very much like a personality profile, but it's been massaged for business ownership. So in essence, it gives us someone's entrepreneurial DNA, for a lack of a better way to explain it. It really tells us how someone is in business. And that's our jumping off point with our clients. And then the next step after that is we sit down with them for a long meeting. It could be up to 2 hours. And we help them build a business model. We ask them a lot. I always joke and say, when I'm prepping my clients, I say, I'm going to ask you lots of probing questions. But really, if you think about what our role is in this process, if you think about what a dating app does and all the information it needs to gather from two people to be able to make a match, it's the same thing for us. We understand what the franchisors are looking for. We need to really get in the psyche of the client to be able to properly make that match.
What are some of those elements that go into the profile? On one end, you have the candidate and who they are. On the other side, you have a business and a franchise opportunity. And every franchise opportunity is a little different.
Yeah.
In some cases, very different. What are some of those elements that entrepreneurial profile is zeroing in on?
A lot of things I'll give you some examples. And it's a lot of times it's things people don't even think of. And I've been doing this a long time, 15 years now. You hear all kinds of things as you go on about your day in your business. So an example would be the Subway owner that wakes up one day and realizes he hates managing high school students, right? People will buy businesses because of a brand name, because there's a really long line out the door at lunch. Sandwiches taste okay. And they think that must be a great business to own, but they don't think about some of the elements like who's your labor going to be? And are you going to enjoy mentoring and managing that type of labor? So it's things like that. First of all, the first question in that arena is, do you want employees? And if the answer is yes, then it's what kind. So let's walk through the different demographics of an employee. Do you prefer business to business or business to consumer? Are you open to both? How comfortable are you getting out and networking? Because some businesses require a lot of feet on the street, knocking on doors, that type of business development. If that's not you, then we need to find a different type of a business, or you need to hire for that position and you need to work it into your working capital, right? So it's things like that. We walk them through all of it. What do they want out of the business? What kind of personal goals do they want to achieve out of the business? So it's a lot of questions. It's a lot of note taking, but we end up producing a PDF one page. It's all on one page. It's very succinct, but that kind of becomes like their template is they're going through the process and looking at these different businesses. Are they matching what's on their template?
So you've been with FranNet for 15 years. Is this something that FranNet has always had, or is this something that was innovated within your 15 years with FranNet?
FranNet, I've been, I want to say, I think 9 years now. So 15 years in the business, about 9 with FranNet. And since I joined FranNet, yes, it's been part of the process.
Okay. So 9 years of going about these entrepreneurial profiles and building them out. When you're looking at an entrepreneurial profile, what are some of the nuances that you're quickly browsing to?
Their level of compliance, because as you, when you join a franchise, you're required to follow a proven system. So how compliant is someone? And if their compliance is low, it's not to say that franchising isn't a good fit for them. But then we need to find a model that is a little bit more emerging or one that's a little bit more lenient as far as the types of rules and how they need to be followed. The other thing is one of the things that might come up is contractor. So somebody that really might want to work alone and not follow any rules. So those are some of the things we're looking for. Obviously, we're looking at financials. That's a big piece of this. Every franchisor has a minimum liquidity requirement and a minimum net worth requirement. So we need to make sure that it's a match there as well.
And why do you think a newer or emerging brand is going to be a better fit for somebody that needs less constraints around this is precisely how this is done, at this much more refined around the compliance side of things?
If you think about it, think about a McDonald's, right? You're going to join McDonald's or a Supercuts, someone that's been around for 40 plus years. You're going to sign on the dotted line and they're going to give you your marching orders and you're just going to do what they say. McDonald's is going to tell you where to buy your refrigerator, where to buy your oven. There's no negotiating. There's no going and finding it somewhere less expensive. With a more emerging brand, that's their business model is definitely in place, but they're newer to franchising and they're growing and figuring out the franchising piece as they go. So I think when you join a more emerging brand, you guys are growing together. First of all, there's a lot more great opportunity as far as territory goes. You get to work closely with that founder in the very beginning. So there's a lot of opportunity to get in young and maybe even have some impact on the system in some way. If you've got some skill set and you can bring those in and share those, it all depends on the franchise and the way it's run and who's running it. But I think there's more opportunity with the younger brands, that growth and that meshing of the younger franchisees with the franchisor as they grow.
Yeah, and participating in that innovation, very exciting. The business model is worked out and what makes it differentiated in the business or in the marketplace. There's a blueprint for what that winning formula looks like and plenty of training, support, marketing. Everything is laid out from an infrastructure standpoint. But as you said, those processes from a franchising standpoint are being worked out. And so there's much more of the entrepreneurial feel to an emerging brand. Very interesting. That's neat. I learned something there with the entrepreneurial profile and how you as a professional are approaching the matchmaking process, what you're clearly so talented at doing. And that's awesome. I want to transition a little bit to the Dallas market. That's really where you have focused throughout your career in Fort Worth. What are some elements of your market that you take into account as you're advising your clients?
That's a great question. And the first thing that pops into my mind is they're flying off the shelves, and I'll explain that. So I actually relocated here a couple of years ago from San Diego, and San Diego is more of a bedroom community. So the bulk of my franchise consulting was done in Southern California, in San Diego. And then when I got here, there's so much growth here. There's so many companies moving here, so many people moving here with those companies. The salaries are good here. There's money here. And there's, I think, over the pandemic, a lot of people didn't go anywhere, right? They weren't taking their normal vacations. They weren't going out and spending money. So everybody had a little pot of money that was setting aside. They're thinking, I need to invest this somewhere. What am I going to do with it? Let me look at my options. It's interesting to me that some brands very young will be introduced to us. And within just a few months, they'll be completely sold out here. That is the really unique thing I think about this market. So I have to have that conversations with my clients when they tend to be a little bit more risk averse and they want a more proven brand. I have to explain that chances are there's no territory, or if it is, it's not going to be something that you're really excited about because the good territory is most likely already taken. Now, is that straight across the board, every single thing? No, but that certainly does come into play most of the time. And when I had this conversation with my colleague, because the Metroplex is so big, the DFW Metroplex, I handle the Dallas side and she handles the Fort Worth side. She's been here for 30 years, 30 plus years. And she's always worked in this market, which to her is normal and to me not, because things fell out so fast. So she thought it was interesting to get a different perspective because that's all she knows. She's been here forever. And it's I think it's pretty unique to this market. There might be a few other markets that are like this, but I don't know that it's as crazy as it is.
What do you candidates tell you when they hear you say that they are opportunistic about one opportunity, but the reality is, hey, it's a hot territory. It's probably not available. And you're advising your client on other opportunities that might not be as proven or yet, but are still going to be in that trajectory of maturity. It's just a matter of time. How do you go about that conversation? It doesn't sound like it's necessarily an easy one, or I'm sure there's an approach that you take.
When I bring it up, I do it very early on. They live here and they see what's going on, so they get it. And I don't think it surprises them, but I think then it comes down to a matter of, okay, if I'm going to go jump in with one of these earlier brands, it really just needs to make sense. It's about so much. It's not just about what the business does and how much money you can make. At the end of the day, it also has to be a cultural fit. You need to believe in the brand. You need to believe in the people that are going to be supporting you. The other franchisees that are on board, however many they are, they need to feel like these are going to be good partners for them in their business. So it depends on the individual and it depends on the franchise. And as we give each one of our clients multiple choices, 3 to 4 concepts to look at to start out with. And it's not to say that those 3 or 4 are the only ones that we look at, but that's that's just our jumping off point. So they get a chance to look at very different businesses, compare them against each other. And I think when you go through that process and you look at very different businesses and different founders and different corporate teams that are going to be supporting you, I think you're able to figure it out for yourself as you go along, of course, with me coaching them. And it's just a process.
And so that's early on. You're intentional about that. Clearly, that is expectation setting. And experience is going to build that into your approach. I know in painting, there are important elements that we need to communicate up front just because of the nature of whatever it is. And so the better we can communicate, that is most certainly an important talking point and starting to help somebody realize that, okay, what isn't necessarily this very established doesn't mean that there aren't very quality opportunities. Yeah. It's just a matter of, okay, how do we identify them? And I know Franet does an incredible job of only allowing a certain caliber of franchise system into the portfolio. There are so many different franchises. I was actually told early on in my career, hey, Nick, not quite yet ready. You got to come back. And so I can absolutely attest to that. And so I'm sure from your standpoint, there's a sense of confidence around the opportunities that is allowing into the portfolio and that you're introducing to clients. And furthermore, you go about your own due diligence, and that entrepreneurial profile is a big part of how you go about that matchmaking process. Roxanne, I was curious, would you mind sharing with me how you go about building a franchise profile?
I prefer to sit down face to face with my client, but sometimes we do it virtually. And it's just a matter of sitting with them and asking them questions. The first question I ask them is, what does this business need to do for you? And I keep asking until they run out of answers. And then the next thing we talk about is, what are your personal goals? And I keep asking and asking until they run out of answers. And then we get into types of employees and location and sales or business development skills, investment level. And then we walk through the different type, we walk through the different demographics of franchises. We break them into buckets like home services, working with seniors, working with children, health and fitness. And then we talk about home, not home-based, but service-based versus location-based, the difference in that. So to get through that whole meeting, all that profile, it takes anywhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours.
And it's a lot of why and what if, and so really getting down to the fundamentals of fit. And clearly you can see that matchmaking process has many years of experience behind it and a lot of science and systems on the Franet side. Oh my gosh, I can tell you as a brand within Franet, there is absolutely a caliber of candidate that we are introduced to. And we can absolutely see this due diligence process. I really appreciate it just from my standpoint. And getting into some of these nuances, I'm appreciating it even more. So your clients, you've had to have had some success stories that you absolutely love. What are some tips that we can take and apply from those success stories?
I'll answer that in a second because you brought up a really good point that I forgot to mention. Our model is that we are Franet franchisees own markets. So we live and work in the same communities that our clients do. So when I'm sitting down with somebody, I'm sitting down with my neighbor, right? They might live in my city, they might live two cities away, but it's a different type of relationship when you live and work in the community, when you're well networked, because not only can you provide things for your client as far as matchmaking, you have local referrals and local folks that can help them through this process and then even help them once they get into business. So some of my most successful clients, I always tell people, sometimes my husband hears me talking to my clients, he's like, I can't tell if you're trying to talk people into starting a business or out of it. But starting a business is hard, and you know this, you've done it, right? It is hard. Things are going to go wrong. It can be emotional at times. And I believe you have to have grit to start a business and to stay in business. So my clients have grit and they've had to do things that make them uncomfortable, but they've kept at it. And I would say the number one thing, honestly, is following the franchise's system and leaning on the franchise when you need help. Ask the questions, lean on the franchise, lean on the other franchisees in the system. They're there to support you. My clients that do that well do very well.
Oh, well said. My goodness. Success stories come from grit and commitment to the system and leaning on support. I can tell you firsthand as a franchisor, having opened all across the country and seeing both sides of that, there is 1000% a correlation between a successful franchise owner and one that is not, with that one factor or all those factors that you just mentioned. That is the core of a successful franchise owner: grit, commitment to the system, and leaning on support. And that seems so counterintuitive when you seek franchise ownership for entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship gives you time and freedom and independence and everything that entrepreneurialism stands for. Granted, in a franchise system, it is different in that you do have a playbook and that winning formula. And so being a little bit too entrepreneurial can get you in trouble. So yeah, entrepreneurialism in general, but specifically franchise ownership starts with, I always talk about humility.
Yeah,
for sure. And you're serving clients, you're serving your employees, you're serving your community. You have to come second. And as a franchise owner, for a period of time, you have to come second to the business model and to maybe your ego, a little bit of your ego in asking for help and leaning on support. But the reality is it's a little ironic because that's essentially what you invested in.
And you purchased the recipe and the secret sauce. So if you don't want to use the recipe or the secret sauce in your recipe, then you shouldn't pay the money for it. It's you're investing in it for a reason. You're not investing in it to just stick it on a shelf and then go do it the way that you think it should be done.
Oh my gosh. I could just talk to you about this forever. But I was curious, you've worked with many executives that are laid off or transitioning. What have you learned from advising those individuals?
Oh, what have I learned? I've learned that no matter how good you are at what you did and how much money you made and what your background is, starting a business is always going to be scary. And this is a whole new world. And not everybody can make that transition. And I always say this, that I believe the folks that have been in sales or that have worked on commission and their salary was mainly from commission, not a big fat salary, make that transition a lot easier than those that didn't, because you have to believe in yourself. It's scary to do it on your own. I have executives that have transitioned very well. And I have some where fear got the best of them and they couldn't make the transition at all. So there's all different shapes and sizes out there in that executive arena. And not everybody can be humble, like you said, and just kind of make the business first. So it really depends on the person, whether or not they're going to be able to make that transition. I have some amazing stories, and then I have some that just, they will keep going back and looking for another job because that's their comfort zone, even though it might not be where they're happy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Business ownership is the ultimate personal development course. I'll tell you that.
For sure.
It's constantly humbling you, and everybody has different traits and who they are. And that process is different for everybody. And I can agree. The fact that you said somebody that has a commissions background, they're used to having to create a portfolio from scratch. And here, no, as of late, we've been starting a lot of our training around not just the amount of leads that you're expected to get starting out, but the amount of no's that you're expected to get starting out. So that expectation right up front is, it's a part of the process. And so that comfort is different for everybody. Oh my gosh. Thanks for sharing that, Roxanne. It makes so much sense. It's a beautiful part of what we get to do, relate and help change lives of people from all different walks. And those journeys are different and unique. So I commend you for what you do. Clearly, this process is much more than just buying a franchise.
And that's the other thing. I'll jump in right here. When you say that, I always say that franchises are not purchased. They are awarded, because I want my clients to understand that it's a two-way process. Not only are they checking you out, you're in turn checking them out. It needs to be a good fit on both sides. So I think that's a very important element. And to, even though you're not going on an interview when you're having these calls, I always encourage them to treat them like it is, because you always want to put your best foot forward. And a franchisor can always say, no, thank you, next.
The culture is so important, and any good franchise system is going to protect that culture. And, and I would hope that no franchise system is wanting to just give a territory to give it. Clearly, we're evaluating the DNA of that individual, the things that you mentioned, the grit, the coachability, the humility, the culture fit, because we want people to be successful. And it's much more than just buying a franchise. Absolutely, it's an awarding process. And I appreciated what you said early on that your husband said, are you trying to talk people into franchising or talk them out? Yeah, it's definitely not for everybody. But my goodness, when all these things come together, it really is a beautiful thing. And it's an honor to be a part of, most certainly. So you work with many veterans. And so I was curious, why do they make such good franchise owners?
Great question. Well, Nick, the number one thing a franchise is looking for is someone to follow a proven system, right? And veterans have that ingrained in them, and in the ability to follow systems while serving. That's what they eat, breathe, sleep. And we have a client who put it this way, and he said when he really got franchising, he realized that the franchisor was similar to his commanding officer, and he felt unit cohesion with the other franchisees. And one of the pains for him of transitioning into civilian life was not knowing who had his back. So now he has a great trusting relationship with the other franchisees, and he knows who has his back. So I thought that was perfect coming from a veteran and in his words. And really the other skills are the mission-oriented, the never quit attitude, determination, leadership and communication skills. It all transfers really well into business ownership.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
And these folks have grit, right? They've done things that none of us and seen things that none of us will ever do or see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree 100%. So Roxanne, you've had a successful entrepreneurial journey. What are some of the things you fall back on and that you lean on, some lessons from your entrepreneurial career?
The biggest one that pops into my mind is don't try to do everything yourself. So when I told you when I did this, I didn't join a franchise. If you're not an IT person, don't try to build your own website. If you don't like sitting down at your desk for hours and crunching numbers, don't try to do your own bookkeeping, because we all need to focus on our highest and best use. We each have one, and whatever that is, that needs to be our role in that business. And then we need to get the rest of it delegated out, because the only thing you're going to do when you do that is you're going to hold yourself back. And we all do it. We try to bootstrap and save some money, but you're just going to slow your progress.
Absolutely. That time could be spent doing things that earn you a return beyond whatever you're pulling your hair out about. But it is a hard thing when you are evaluating that opportunity cost. I need to pay a bookkeeper X amount, or I can save X amount. But the reality is you can put that time into your business and earn it back. And if you're really concerned about the dollars, then a good approach would be, you know, I definitely need to put in extra time, because I know there's going to be an ROI, and that ROI will at least pay off what I'm paying a bookkeeper. And it's some aspect of the business that I do enjoy. Ah, well said. So clearly you have a passion and a love for franchising. Why do you love franchising so much?
I'm definitely drinking the punch. It made a huge difference in my business almost 10 years ago, night and day. And I just believe in the system. I believe not all of us are entrepreneurial and creative. And God bless those of you that are, like you, Nick, right? Without the creative entrepreneurs that are the ultimate risk takers, there would be no franchises. So it all starts with an entrepreneur in a business model that ultimately works well, is duplicatable, and it becomes a franchise. I'm not creative, and I know that I can execute. I know that I can follow a system. I just want the system. I want the recipe. I'm the same way when I cook. I am not a cook. I've got my recipe out and my measuring cups, and I'm scraping off the cup and the tablespoon. I follow the recipe, and when I do, it comes out great. And when I don't, not so much. There you go.
Yeah, I call it the crazy entrepreneur and the smart entrepreneur. Crazy ones go out, take the arrows in the back, and the smart ones follow along and invest in a franchise. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Roxanne. Thank you for hopping on.
Thanks for having me.
And if anyone was interested in getting in touch with you, how could they do that?
They can find me on LinkedIn. I am the only Roxanne Rapsky. It's Roxanne with two N's and an E. And my last name is R-A-P like Paul, S like Sam, K-E. That's the best way to find me. You can also find me on FranNet.com, or you can find our podcast anywhere you listen to your podcast, and it's called Unpredicted Entrepreneur.
Unpredicted Entrepreneur. Check it out. Definitely appreciate you checking out this video. Please like it, subscribe to learn from more thought leaders in franchising, business, and high performance. Today, I definitely learned a lot. But more importantly, please go into the comments and contribute to the conversation. We covered so much valuable information. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Always level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.